Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. His mercy endures forever. 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 His word is settled in heaven. Thank God for his word. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. I think about, you know, the rhema of folks all over the world in the different nations of the world, over 130,000 graduates now around the world, all these different, I know we got several more campuses coming online here in this next year, graduations going on with a lot of the campuses. God is so good, and this is the home church for all of that, and Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are the leaders of that, and of course, Pastor Craig and Pastor Denise, we just thank God for that. Praise the Lord. If you wanted to have a sermon titled tonight, it's Awaken the Roar. Awaken the Roar. I read a statement not too long ago that kind of intrigued me, and I started looking at it, and I wanted to, you know, look at it from the Word of God's perspective, and so I'm going to talk about that tonight. And it said this: a lion cub raised among sheep acts like a sheep until it hears another lion's roar. And you know, I think that statement captures a lot of believers born of God, created in his image, but surrounded by the world, pressured by the world, that's trying to teach us Christians to bleat like sheep instead of roar like lions. Amen. And if there ever was a time to roar, it's today. It's this time. It's never too early. It's not too late. Begin to roar, and we're going to talk about what that means. But the story is told of a lion cub that was separated from its pride at a very young age and ended up in a sheep herd, and it just followed the sheep around because it was alone, and it grazed with them, you know, followed them. Of course, you know, lions don't eat grass, but it did the best it could because that's all it knew. But one day, it heard a roar across the valley. It came echoing across the valley. If you know anything about lions, that roar can be heard for miles and miles and miles. But when it heard that roar, that little lion cub, something on the inside of it stirred. It didn't frighten it. No, it awakened it. It wasn't the roar of a predator that it heard. It was the voice of its identity calling it home to fulfill who he really was. The same way God's word from heaven is calling us. It's the roar of heaven calling us to remember who we are and what we have in Christ. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. So I realize we're just jumping right into a verse here, but it says, one of the elders saith to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Jesus is that Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. You know, and as sons and daughters of God, we share his nature. The same life, listen to me, the same life that's in that adult lion that's roaring is in that cub. And the same life that's in the Lion of the tribe of Judah is in us. He came because of that very reason. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Proverbs chapter 30. I'm going to look at several scriptures tonight as we're able. And some of them I may take some time to turn to. Some of them I may just quote. They'll put them up on the screen. Proverbs 30, verse 30. Tonight we're taking the lion as our representative of Christ and of the church. Proverbs 30, 30 says, a lion, which is the strongest among the beasts, and turns not away for any. See, the lion represents courage. It represents dominion, confidence, qualities that every member of the body of Christ ought to have. I can remember, you know, back when I was younger than I am now, but here as a student at Rhema, and there was just almost, I don't know what it was, but you didn't dare tell us in those early days of Rhema, we couldn't go do something. We'd already had graduates go out and do stuff that they were told they couldn't do. We had graduates travel. You know, it's a little bit different, that maybe now, but they traveled not knowing anybody to another country. I'm thinking of Paul Chase, had $25 in his pocket, traveled to the Philippines, didn't know a soul, but God told him to go. Bud and Jan Wright, 1983, went down to Brazil, couldn't speak a lick of Portuguese whatsoever. And that Alabama truck driver, filled with the Holy Ghost and full of faith, he and his wife went down there, and it was so funny, you know, people would tell you that he spoke Portuguese with an Alabama accent. Amen. But a whole nation was changed. There was a boldness. There was a confidence. There was a courage. It's no mistake that God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Have courage. And so people, you know, just went out, and it was really those first years wasn't the beginning of what so-called faith movement, but it was early days of it. And maybe there was a lack of knowledge, maybe a lack of understanding, but boy, there was a whole lot of zeal and a whole lot of courage. Where's that come from? That comes from the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lest we forget who he is, because we've forgotten the roar that accompanies a lion. You know, a lion doesn't, you know, we talked about, the Bible talks about that the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. To a predator, to prey, a roar brings fear. But to those who are part of the lion's family, it doesn't bring fear. The roar is to announce, I'm here. And to announce, this is my territory, any enemy better keep out. Yeah. Or you're fixing, you know what that means, for a whooping. I love to watch those shows, you know, the nature shows. I was just on my tablet, my background picture is two male lions that we saw at Nairobi National Park here a few years ago. I'd gone a couple times, never seen any lions. This last time I was there, we saw 10 different lions, several different male lions off away. We saw the king lion, you know, we saw him. And but these other males were off by themselves. And, you know, it's interesting. We roll up there and pulled off the road and rolled up to them, you know, and windows open and all that. And they just turned around and looked at us like, yeah. Confident. No matter what was coming their way. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. We were not born again to act like sheep in fear. We're born to walk in dominion and courage. I had the Lord say this to me because when I came back here and I was working over in our alumni department and interacting with students over 24 years ago, I noticed there was a difference in some of the students. They were looking for, you know, they come in my office in the alumni department, you know, and say, is there someplace I can go now and be mentored, or someplace I can go and do this and something? There's nothing wrong with that, except I noticed there was this lack of courage to step out. A lack of courage. You know, every once in a while, the lion pride has to shoo the male lions out. They have to go out on their own. And so I was concerned about it, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not saying I heard an audible voice, but I heard that strong, you know, that forceful voice of the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of me said, the only cure, and the reason I know this is true, because when Jesus encountered unbelief in his hometown of Nazareth, what did he do? He went about their cities and villages teaching. The only cure for unbelief is to teach the Word of God. And the Lord said this to me, you're going to have to teach and preach courage back in. That's why we forget we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I was listening to someone teach the other day on faith and healing, and they made an interesting comment, and I hadn't thought about it, but it is true. You know, if you're alive in this earth, and they were saying this, you know, probably in any congregation, 95% of the people in there are dealing with something. And probably in their body. We just, you know, we have little this or little that, we don't think about it. But Jesus, you know, when he ministered to people, and especially to the individuals, for most of the accounts, the overwhelming amount of the accounts, he mentioned their faith, not the willingness of God. And so he was, this minister was saying, we need to emphasize what Jesus emphasized. Well, I'm here to emphasize tonight that there's something on the inside of you, a roar that wants to come out of you. And you need to let it out. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm sorry. Let's turn over there, verse 4. 2 Peter 1:4. Glory to God. The same life that's in the lion is in the Cubs. Amen. Now, not the Chicago Cubs. That's a whole other story there. But that. Amen. Miss Mike Kelly for that one. 2 Peter 1, some of you don't know, how many of you know who Mike Kelly is? He's still alive, you know, but he's in heaven bothering Jesus now instead of all of us. Anyway, you know I'm true, right? You know it's true. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, when we were born again, God's nature came to live on the inside of us. Listen, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you didn't get a new religion. You got a new life. You got a new nature. Born again. You know, when a little kitten meows, it does that because that's what it is. It just meows. But you know, a lion doesn't meow. Even the cubs, when they're not trying to meow, that little sound they make, they're trying to roar. You can't train a lion to meow. Why? It's not its nature. On the same vein, righteousness and authority and peace are your nature if you're a child of God, because you're in Christ. But this world, I want you to know, the world wants to shape us. It wants to mold us. But I don't care if a Christian gets shaped and molded by the world, that nature's still on the inside of them. In our story, that little lion cub acted like sheep because it lived among them. It learned how to fear. It learned to be passive. It learned to be intimidated. And unfortunately, we have brothers and sisters in Christ that, because we're raised in this world system, they've been taught to conform. But Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, conforming is when we let the world teach us how to bleat like sheep instead of roar like lions. Amen. Transformation happens when the Word reminds us of who we already are. You know, God created man in the beginning, male and female made he them, put them in the garden. He said, let them have dominion over the work of my hands. Everything was there for their benefit. They were over it, but yet they allowed, the Bible says Eve was deceived, Adam was not, but they allowed that serpent to speak. They allowed the serpent to have a voice when he shouldn't have been allowed to speak contrary to God's word. Any voice that tries to question what God's word says, roar like a lion. With what? With the word of God in your mouth. What was the immediate result of their sin and their shame? It brought fear. They were afraid. They hid from God. But something happens when you hear the word of God. It drives fear out and faith rises up on the inside of you. Romans chapter 10, look at that. What is that roar? Well, for our illustration tonight, we're talking about the roar of the revelation of God's word. Revelation. What does that mean? When God's word is revealed to you, that it applies to you right now. It's how does it apply to you right now? Yes, I know the Word of God has some historical things. I know there's some things that applied to Israel. There's some things that applied to the people that were speaking there. But revelation comes when the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, shows you how it applies to you. That's a rhema word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, the Word is not just information. The Word is the revelation that's going to awaken your true identity. Jesus said in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But we're not just following just to follow. We're not just a follower. The voice of a shepherd calls us, our shepherd calls us on, but he's also informing us we're a son, we're a daughter of God, and we're empowered to lead. Listen, this Bible's just not ink on a page. It's the roar of our Father God echoing down through the generations, echoing into our very spirit. Every promise, every word reminds us of who we are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are anointed. We are victorious in Him. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That roar of the Word of God. Look at James chapter 1. The Word of God is likened to many things in the Bible, but one thing that it's likened to is a mirror. Here in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 23, let's read this, James 1, 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or we would say mirror. Many of your translations might say mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, one thing about the Word of God, yes, I know there's times that Paul talks about what we used to be, but the Word of God, its intention is not tell us who we used to be. The Word of God tells us who we already are right now. Amen? Who am I in Christ? Who are you in Christ? I know that Pastor Craig borrowed it from Pastor Todd DeLay from Seminole, Texas, their Transformation Church in Seminole. But Jesus changes everything. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you that hearing that roar of the Word of God changes everything. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. One of the things that the Word of God produces on the inside of us when we hear that roar and we get receive that revelation is boldness starts to rise up on us. And rise up inside of us. Here in Acts chapter 4. Now, you remember, Peter, this is the same dude that denied Jesus three times before the crucifixion. Remember? Now, Peter wasn't the only one that said, Lord, we'll never leave you nor forsake you. They all said it. They all promised it. Peter was the one that got recorded, you know, that he did that. And denied Jesus. Of course, the other ones couldn't because they took off running when they came to arrest Jesus. Peter, you know, he tried to start a sword fight with a dagger. Cut off that Malchus's ear and Jesus restored it. Aren't you glad he did that? Praise the Lord. Not Peter, but Jesus. I'm glad Jesus did what he did. Amen. But on the day of Pentecost, something happened. Peter heard a roar. It was the sound of the rushing mighty wind that blew through that place, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People wondered what was going on when they heard men and women speak in their own languages. And Peter stood up and said, this is that which was prophesied by Joel. These men are not drunk as you suppose, being the third hour of the day. And he talks about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And then in chapter 3, he and John go to the temple, and that man's lame there from his mother's womb. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. And immediately the man's ankle bones and feet were made whole. And he went into the temple with him, walking and leaping and praising God. Peter said, look, don't look at us as if our own holiness or our own power has made this man well. But Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by faith in his name, has given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Well, they brought him in. They arrested him. And they asked him there in chapter 4, by what authority and by what name have you done this? He said, be it made known unto all of you. that is through Jesus Christ and his name. For there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, they didn't know what to do with that. Look at verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, how many know Jesus is the Word made flesh? And when we spend time in the Word of God, boldness becomes natural to us. Boldness becomes natural to us. Boldness where? Now there's a difference between boldness and arrogance. How many of you know we're told to come boldly to the throne of God? That doesn't mean come prideful and arrogant. But that means bold, like you belong there. Now who do we use that boldness concerning? The devil and all of his crew. And all of his lies and all of his symptoms and all of his circumstances. His thoughts, ideas, and suggestions contrary to the Word of God. Symptoms, circumstances, situations contrary to the Word of God. We can rise up and boldly say, no, the Word of God says this. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I've said this for years, but I believe it even more and more. Now, again, I'm not in any hurry, but I'm going to tell you this. With my last dying breath, I'm going to be declaring Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost, and Jesus is coming back again. I'm not going to begin this in faith and not end it on this earth in faith. Because I know one thing. I'm going to be more alive when this body's gone than I am now. And when one day I'm going to come back on this earth with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now where does that come from? That comes from the Word of God. Boldly declare. Hallelujah. A lion doesn't apologize for roaring because it was made to roar. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, we think it's just the male lions. No, the female lions roar too. They roar. They roar. I saw a little clip the other day of two cubs. They were just sitting there. Two little cubs are sitting there, and they're just kind of hanging out. You can tell they're kind of trying to hide. All of a sudden, in the distance, you hear a roar going forth. And it was their mother. And they perked up. They started looking. They heard that roar. It was a roar they recognized. We ought to recognize the roar of the Word of God. Something on the inside rises up on the inside of us and says, that's who I am. That's where I belong. I belong to that roar. And these two little cubs stood up. One of them got it a little bit quicker than the other. Stood up and took off running. Running to mama. Running home. Glory to God. Why? When they heard that roar, they're not afraid any longer. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Fear whispers, stay quiet. Don't offend anybody. But faith roars, the greater one is in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is the love of God in me than the hatred that's in the world. Greater is the faith of God in me than the fear that's in the world. Greater is the peace of God that's in me than the turmoil that's in the world. Countless testimonies, even in this room, of people who used to be timid in prayer or timid to witness, but when you heard the Word of God, something on the inside of you changed. Something shifted. You begin to pray with authority. You begin to speak with faith. Walk with confidence. I heard Brother T.L. Osborne preaching. He was talking about he and Daisy as they would go, and they traveled a lot, you know, a lot of different airports and that. He said Daisy just couldn't stand it. She'd see somebody walking through the airport with their head down. She'd run up, get up underneath them and say, why is your head down? What's wrong? What's bothering you? And just couldn't help but had to preach Jesus to him. Lift your head up. Brother Osborne said like this. He said, lift your head up, put your shoulders back, and walk like you're somebody going to do something for God. Amen? Hallelujah. How do we roar? How do we walk in our identity? We've got to speak what God has said. Look at Joel chapter 3 for a moment. Are you doing all right tonight? I just want to encourage you tonight. There's a roar on the inside of you. There's something wanting to come out. Don't wait. Don't wait when it seems like a life-threatening, a life-ending event. Start roaring now, glory to God. Start flexing the muscles that God has given you now. Here in Joel chapter 3, This is one of those 3:16 verses. There's several of them in the Word of God. Of course, you know John 3:16, right? I like 1 John 3:16, but here's another one. Joel chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of his children, Israel. Glory to God. God's roar shakes things loose. And our voice is the echo of the hills. We roar and speak what God said. And what God said echoes down. Because that's how God does things in the earth. He does it through men and women who'll speak his word. Peter said, he said, there's no private interpretation of the word of God. But he said, it's all came by the Holy Ghost. Because why? Holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And you see, everything that God has done, he has spoken it through a man or a woman on this earth. And God speaks it. And he speaks it. And he speaks it. And he speaks it, and it comes through you, and it comes through me, and it comes from you over there, and it comes from you over there. And as we speak, we're echoing throughout this land, throughout the universe, to all men and women out there. We're echoing God's word to them. And we're putting the devil on alert. No, you don't, Mr. Devil. No, you don't. There's a fire on the inside of you, mister, and it's burning you up. How many of you know Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they even didn't love their life unto the death. In other words, if this costs me my life, I'm going to declare that I've got the victory in the name of Jesus. I'm going to declare that the blood of Jesus is greater. I'm going to give testimony to what God said. I'm going to be that echo of his voice. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Say it, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Well, if I could just, you know, I'm trying to be righteous. I'm trying. No, the Bible says that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I like to think of it this way. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for me, that I who knew no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in him. All my righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus at the cross, he bore my sin. He bore your sin. He bore our shame. He took our unrighteousness unto him. Even though he was holy and he was righteous 100%, he took our unrighteousness. And when the price for your unrighteousness and my unrighteousness had been paid, God spoke, and that same rushing mighty wind that went through on the day of Pentecost went through hell itself. The Bible says Jesus was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And it raised him up. And the Bible says Jesus took everything that the devil trusted in and made a show of him openly, triumphing over him in it. And he stood before, he went back to heaven, and he told his disciples, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you go, you go, you go. He delegated that authority to his body, to the sons and daughters of God. You say, well, that was to his disciples. That you may be able to make that argument except for this one statement. He said, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Jesus said in John 17, Father, he said, I pray not for these here alone, but I pray for all of those who shall believe on me through their word. Well, one way or another, you and I have believed on Jesus through the words of these eyewitnesses that he was praying for with him there in John chapter 17. We are just as much part of the tribe of Judah, of the lion of the tribe of Judah, as those that were there. Now, one of the things we have to do is not only speak God's word, we need to surround ourselves with other lions. Amen. Stay around faith-filled people who have the roar of truth on their lips. Now, that doesn't mean you don't, you know, some people say, well, I just can't have anything to do with people in the world. Well, how are you ever going to win them to the Lord if you do that? Jesus was a lion of the tribe of Judah, and the religious people called him a friend of sinners. But Jesus never sinned to be like the sinner. When Jesus was around sinners, they changed to be like him. Amen. You'll never hear your roar while you're surrounded by silence. Faith feeds the voice of faith, the spirit of faith. Never lose the sound of the word of God in your ears. Every day, that word is speaking to you. You are my beloved. You are more than a conqueror. You are my righteousness. When that lion cub heard that roar, it stopped grazing. Its ears lifted up. Its heart raced. And something deep on the inside of it said, "That's who I am." That's what happens when you and I hear the word of God. When I hear the word of God, when you hear the word of God, we realize we're not broken, we're redeemed. We're not bound, we're free. We're not timid, we're bold. We're not sheep lost in the crowd. We're a lion, born of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Say this, I'm not a sheep. I'm a lion. I've got a voice. And that voice is the word of God. And I will declare what he says I am, what it says I have, and what it says I can do. Because like Pastor Hagin said this morning, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. Stand up on your feet with me tonight. Glory to God. Give God praise in this place. Just begin to lift your voice and shout unto God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for each and every one. That they'd find their roar, that they'd find their voice, the word of God would rise up and live big on the inside of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they'd not shrink away from any situation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Like Paul prayed, Father, I pray that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Revelation and wisdom from the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage you, eat a bunch of healthy meals on the word of God this week. Don't just eat once, eat a whole bunch. Amen. Just fill yourself up with the word of God. Glory to God.